The Bible says, after listening to the king, they went on their own way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Let's pray. King Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift of yourself that you gave us that we celebrate this time of the year. Lord, your incarnation, what a miracle that God would become man, God with us, Emmanuel. We rejoice in that. We ask this day that you teach us, Lord, more and more how to honor you in our lives, in our lips, in our worship, in our service, in every moment of our lives. For your honor and your great glory, we ask it all in your precious and perfect name. Amen. You ever notice that despite all of your good intentions, now this only works with a 2 or 3 year old, but or typically, I get distracted too, but with a 2 or 3 year old, you'll have that highly coveted, prized, expensive gift right there in front of them, and what do they want to play with? They want to play with the wrapping paper that they just ripped off and is really meaningless and worthless. So it's sort of a sign of immaturity that if you're distracted by the trivial, then you're really not understanding the gift that is right there in front of you. And I think there's not only a visual, but there's a spiritual meaning that's important for all of us to remember this time of the year. So with that said, I hope that Kimmy and friends haven't, that's their new singing group, I hope that they haven't given you too much distraction today, but it's meant to serve as a visual for the lesson that God wants to teach us today. As we start, I want to give you a Christmas quiz. Merry Christmas, by the way, and so I know you're really intelligent. All of you in this room are smarter than a fifth grader, even the first graders among us. So I want you to help me out with this Christmas quiz, see how well you score. We had a great time Christmas caroling the other night on the bus, and one of the greatest things that I had a great time with was all the questions, all the questions that the children were asking me that I couldn't answer because they were great. They were puns at every turn, and I just didn't even understand half the jokes they were telling me. So here's your quiz for you because of what they inspired me to think about all this week. What did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. What do you get when you cross a snowman and a vampire? Frostbite. Now, this is the easiest one of the quiz. What do snowmen eat for breakfast? Snowflakes, exactly. Don't get too excited. We got harder ones coming. What do you call people who are scared of Santa? Claustrophobic, exactly. Very good. What nationality is Santa? North Polish. How do sheep in Mexico say Merry Christmas? Fleece, Navidad. And last, who sings Blue Christmas and makes toy guitars? Elvis. Well, I heard about a couple of letters that were sent to Santa that really matter on a day like this. One said, "Dear Santa, you didn't bring me anything good last year. In fact, you didn't bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance." Signed, Albert. Albert knew how to put Santa in his place. Or this letter, "Dear Santa, there are 3 little boys at my house. Jeff is 3, David is 5, and Norman is 8. Jeff is good some of the time. David is good most of the time. Norman is good all of the time." Signed, Norman. So we think a lot about gifts at this time of the year, on this day, obviously. It's interesting the number of times the Bible speaks of salvation in terms of a gift. Like 2 Corinthians 9:16, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 4, talking to the woman at the well. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink. Paul in Romans 3:24 said, we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Or Romans 6:23, he said, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:6, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So I want to talk to you this morning about the greatest gift of all, that we might not be distracted by all the trimmings, by all the celebration, but we might understand the gift that Paul says is a gift which cannot be spoken in words. It's a gift that really can't be described. It's a gift that can't be explained. All he knows to say about it is, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus, how precious He is. Now, just in case you need a last-minute gift idea, say, I don't know, for your pastor, then I have a gift for that person who has everything. You think they have everything, but I bet they don't have something on this list. First, perhaps you want to run out just today before the stores close for the final time and buy a women's Saint Laurent crystal boot. A pair of them only cost $12,000. So maybe that's a gift you could go out and get at the last minute. Not for me, but you could get it for somebody else. I don't really want them. I'm not sure if Ginger does. Or a Jaeger Alcouture pink gold day and night women's watch, which will only run you $28,000. So you could perhaps go out and get that today. You could get a set of first edition Winnie the Pooh books signed by both the author and the illustrator. They will only run you $48,000. You could get a 3/5 size, handcrafted 1938 Rolls Royce made for a child. It will only run you $44,000. So maybe you could get that and put it under the tree tonight. You could get a set of 7 Hohner harmonicas signed by Bob Dylan. They are $25,000 on Amazon this morning, but the good news is there's free shipping. You could get a Louis Vuitton pet carrying case. You know, I mean, something, your pet's worth it. It's only $4,400 compared to these other gifts. I mean, that's nothing. You could get a pair of Kennedy 18-karat gold shoelaces that will run you $19,000. Ladies, perhaps your husband could get you a pair of or a set of Tiffany & Company pearls with diamonds and platinum. They will only run him $144,000. For the person who can't be bothered with life's tedious chores, here's a gift. A Lorenzi Milano chrome toothpaste squeezer that is only $13,000. Or perhaps you have a sportsman in your clan. You could purchase him this, a G1 glass pool table, 15 millimeters thick, guaranteed to absorb any normal shock, and the sticker shock is only $73,000. Or a 100th anniversary Neiman Marcus limited edition Maserati car. There were only 100 of them made this year. They will only cost you $195,000. Ladies, Dolce & Gabbana gold sunglasses studded with diamonds, guaranteed to be the most expensive pair of sunglasses ever made, $390,000. Or maybe a sportsman again, you could buy them a submarine sports car that floats on the surface of the water like a VW until you pull the lever to go submerge for up to 6 hours. This vehicle will only cost you $2 million. Or last, for the dog lovers in the crowd, here's a more, I don't know why it's named twice, and a more diamond collar that features a 7-carat center stone valued at $3.2 million retail. That's for the dog lover who really loves his dog. Of course, Christmas is not about the gifts. It's about the birth of God. Christmas is not about buying toys for children. It's about bringing tribute to Christ. So I hope we can lay aside all the distractions and the paper and understand this morning the gift that God has for us. Our scripture passage shows us that when the wise men came, it was in response to the star that God had sent to lead them to the Christ child. That's enough for us to just marvel at for just months and months, the entire year till Christmas comes around again. How could God do that? How mysterious it was, how majestic it was that God would become man in the form of human flesh. That could stir your intellect, and it would take you for the rest of your life to try to understand it, and yet you never will. These wise men faced danger, they faced distance, they faced difficulty, and yet they didn't let any of those things stand in their way. They didn't fall into the cult of the comfortable. They were ready to do whatever it takes to get to the feet of the Lord Jesus. So these wise men came, and the Bible says, when they came, they brought their gifts to the Lord. This, of course, is the origin of our giving of gifts at Christmas. It's strange, however, isn't it? They gave their gifts to Him. We give our gifts to one another. You ever been to a birthday party where the birthday child is left out completely? That's a strange thing. That's most of our Christmas celebrations. We instead give gifts to one another and leave Christ completely out of it. Sort of like that boy that made a list for his dad. It was a lengthy and detailed list as to what he wanted for Christmas, but it started with roller skates. The dad said, "Well, son, let's look down this list. Let's examine this list. But as we do, we ought to start talking about your behavior and about your grades. You need to be good, and your grades need to be good." And the little boy said, "Oh, Dad, don't bother to check. The roller skates will be fine." Well, we need to give our best gifts to the Lord Jesus, to witness in His name, to sacrifice for others in His name. After all, it is His birthday. Now, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Ephesians 5, "Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." The gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus were significant gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh were rather expensive. They were considerable gifts. They were substantial gifts. Of course, we need to be generous in our giving of what we give to the Lord at this time of the year as well, to support our missionaries around this world. We used to sing a hymn, "I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me?" That's an appropriate question. They were significant gifts. They were also symbolic gifts. That is, there was a meaning behind each one of these gifts. Heard about that Sunday school teacher was trying to teach the class about the meaning of these gifts, and she said, "Class, what did the wise men bring to Jesus?" And one little boy raised his hand and he said, "I know, gold, Frankenstein, and mermaids." Well, I mean, he was kind of close, but he got it wrong. So we're familiar with these gifts. I don't pretend this morning I'm going to teach you anything you haven't already learned and known before, but perhaps by God's Holy Spirit, He'll be gracious to teach us in a depth and in a way that will change us and renew us in our love and adoration of our Savior. So first, they brought gold, the most precious of all metals. It was a symbol of royalty. It was a gift for a king. It recognizes His sovereign dominion. He is Lord. He is King. He is Master. It tells us that Jesus came to rule. It's interesting that He came and these wise men did not cuddle Him. They didn't kneel down before him and play games with him. No, they worshiped him. They bowed down before him. How appropriate that was. They ask, where is he who is born King of the Jews? All the way to the last night of his life, Jesus was a king. Jesus is still a king. Standing before Pontius Pilate that night, he was asked, are you a king? And Jesus replied in John 18, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to me. Did you hear that? He said everyone. That's pretty all-inclusive. Everyone who is of the truth listens to Jesus. Do you listen to his voice? Found in his word? More importantly, do you submit to his word? All sorts of people nowadays want to listen to Jesus. They want to get a little financial tip. They want to get a little help in their marital life. They want to get a little help in raising their children. But to submit, to surrender to this king, to say, Jesus, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. That is a person who follows after Christ in truth. Philippians 2 is the result of the death of Jesus on the cross. Paul said, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, both things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus is Lord. That means he's boss. That means he's master. Is he your boss? Is he your master? Is he the one who rules over your life? That's what this gold represents. He is a king. He has come to rule over us. You can try to rule your own life, but you will fail because of the temptations of the devil in this world and your own fallen flesh. Or you can bow to the Lord Jesus and say, Jesus, save me from myself. Help me from my sin. Forgive me for my transgressions. So friend, this morning, this Christmas morning, it's appropriate to watch or to ask as we celebrate, as we get ready to open our own gifts, to ask Jesus, are you King of my life? Can you truly say that Jesus Christ runs your life? Is Jesus in charge of your life? A lot of people want Jesus to be some kind of heavenly bellboy who comes running to serve them when they call. Oh, my mother is sick, so Jesus, I'll run up a prayer. Jesus, my friend needs a job, so I'll run up a prayer. Nothing wrong with those prayers individually, but I'm saying, is he in charge of your entire life? Is he your master and your Lord and your king? Rather than being the king who rules and reigns over their lives, a lot of people want Jesus to be present. But Jesus comes only if he's president. He comes only if he's king. He comes only if he's master. A lot of people want Jesus to reside, but they don't want him to preside. Have you acknowledged his kingship? First, they brought to him gold because he was a king. He came to rule over us. Second, I want you to see that they brought him frankincense. It was a gift for a priest. The king shows that Jesus has come to rule over us. Frankincense shows that he came to represent us as a priest. In the Old Testament, he was the one who was set aside to represent God to the people and represent the people before God. He would take the needs and the burdens and the concerns of the people into the Holy of Holies, and he would lift them there before God in prayer, in the presence of God. But this high priest is holy because he was the God-man. He wasn't just a baby. He was God in human flesh, and they recognized his sinless deity. That's why they worshiped him. That's why they bowed down to him. They realized, of course, that it'd be blasphemy to bow down to somebody who's not God. But they bow down to him because he is God, to worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve, Jesus would later say. The people themselves in the Old Testament couldn't go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. That was reserved for the Aaronic priesthood. And only once a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifice there. Somebody had to represent them. Somebody had to be the mediator to stand between them and God. So when he went in, he took incense. That's what frankincense is. It's a sweet perfume, fragrance. That incense represents the work of a priest. When Jesus came, there was a sweet fragrance all about him, the essence of glory about him, the essence of heaven all about the Lord Jesus. And friend, the good news is that because Christ Jesus at Calvary went into the Holy of Holies, representing us, standing between us and God, and took our pain, and took our punishment, and took our wrath, and took our judgment all upon himself, he himself became a sacrifice for our sins on the cross, so that now there is one mediator, the Bible says, between us and God, the man Jesus Christ. Friend, he's the only priest you need. You don't need any other priest, dear one. Jesus Christ is your great high priest. He's at the right hand of the Father. And the good news is, as a believer, as one who trusts in Christ, you can come right in to the Holy of Holies itself and pray to the Heavenly Father. And Jesus is right there praying for you, alongside of you. That's glorious good news this Christmas Eve morning, is it not? That Jesus Christ doesn't just hear your prayers. Jesus Christ prays for you and with you. And the Bible says in Romans 8, through you by the Holy Spirit. When you don't have words to say. You ever been there? When you don't know what to pray. You know you're not smart enough to pray in this situation. You don't have a clue. You can't even put words together. The Bible says the Holy Spirit for the child of God prays in words that cannot be uttered. That is our glorious, great, matchless high priest, the Lord Jesus, who is a priest to represent us. When Jesus was born, they gave him gold, a gift fit for a king, because he came to rule us. When Jesus was born, they gave him frankincense, a gift for a priest, because he came to represent us. And third this morning, this one's only going to take about 55 minutes. When Jesus was born, they brought him myrrh, a gift for a prophet, which means he has come to redeem us. Myrrh was an antiseptic that was used for burial. It was an embalming agent. What a strange gift for a baby. The gift represents the precious death of the Lord Jesus. These wise men, by the Holy Spirit of God, recognized something of his sacrificial death. They gave a gift for a prophet. The prophets who faithfully delivered the Word of God in the Old Testament typically paid for it with their lives. They were martyrs unto death. And Jesus had come not only to be a king, Jesus had come not only to be a priest, but most importantly, Jesus had also come to be a prophet. He had come to die in order to redeem us. All through the life of Jesus, there was a strange fragrance of death. He talked about his death all throughout his ministry. This little baby grew up and became a man. There came a day when this Jesus was now a man, no longer a baby, no longer having soft, delicate hands of inside of his mother's womb, no longer those soft, delicate hands that would play with the thumb of his mother Mary. Now he was in the cruel, brutal hands of Roman soldiers who slammed his hands to a cross and drove nails through those hands and put him there on the cross to bleed and to suffer for your sins and for mine. Why did he do that? He did that to redeem us. He did that to save us. He shed his blood to set us free. He had come to die. According to the scriptures, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's the only hope anybody has of ever being saved. You have to be saved by the application of the precious blood of Jesus. The hymn writer so perfectly said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And the blood of Jesus that was poured out on the cross, he did that for your sins and for mine. So the question this morning is, has that blood been applied to your heart? There's no record that the early church ever celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's no record the early church ever did. Instead, they always celebrated his death. And the real Christmas tree is this. It's that cross. It's where Jesus died for you, and he, in his own body, bore our sins on the tree. that tree a bloody cross, not decorated, but stained with the blood of the perfect Son of God. Listen to what Mary sang in Luke chapter 1 in verses 46 and 47. This is after she received the message from the angel that she was going to be the vessel through whom the Son of God would be born. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I know it's always dangerous to speak on behalf of someone else, but if Mary could stand in my place and speak today, she would be horrified to think that people pray to her, to think that people venerate her, to think that people worship her. She said, "I rejoice in God my Savior." She rejoiced because Jesus had come to save every person on the planet, including his own mother. And so they presented unto him gifts. The word "presented" is a word that means to offer as a sacrifice. It was a word used in the Old Testament for sacrificial animal offerings. So when the wise men brought their gifts and they gave them to Jesus, friend, it was an act of worship. It was an act of adoration. So let me encourage you for a final time before all of your family celebrations. Whatever you're going to do this Christmas, I know a lot of you, what you're going to do, you're going to eat all that good food. That's wonderful. You're going to open all those presents. That's great. You're going to listen to Christmas songs. That's beautiful and wonderful. You're going to have a lot of family time. But let me encourage you, whatever else you do during these next 48 hours, be sure to take some time to get alone and worship your Lord, your God, your Savior, your King, your Master, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and give Him something of your adoration and your worship like these wise men did. Heard about a missionary who went to the Indians. He'd come and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus to their whole tribe. The Indian chief's heart was moved when he heard about Jesus dying on the cross for his sins. The Indian chief went and got his valued bow. And he came and he knelt down before the missionary. And he said, "Indian chief, give my bow to Jesus." The missionary said, "No, sir, chief. Jesus doesn't want your bow." He went back to his teepee. It came back and he brought his prize blanket. And he said, "Indian chief, give my blanket to Jesus." The missionary said, "No, sir, chief. Jesus doesn't want your blanket." He went and got his prize stallion. He stopped the horse in front of the missionary. And he said, "Indian chief, give my horse to Jesus." The missionary said, "No, sir, chief. Jesus does not want your horse." The Indian chief just stood there, puzzled. And then the missionary got down on his knees and said, "Indian chief, give Indian chief to Jesus." And friend, Jesus deserves to have, and Jesus desires to have your heart and your life this Christmas season as well. Jesus is the only man who experiences a birthday every year, but he never gets any older. I think everybody ought to give a gift or get a gift on his birthday, especially the King's birthday. And the greatest gift you can give to the Lord Jesus this Christmas season, if you really want to wish Him a happy birthday, is to give Him the only thing He may not have already, and that's your heart. Let's pray together. King Jesus, we thank You so much for Your gift of Yourself that You gave us, that we celebrate every Christmas. Lord Jesus, You are worthy. You're our prophet, You're our priest, and You're our King. And Lord, if there's one here today who's never truly trusted You as Savior, King, and Lord, may today be the day of salvation for them. May they come to You, Jesus, and repent of their sins and say, "Christ Jesus, take away my sins. I believe You died on the cross. I believe that You rose from the dead. I believe You lived a perfect life and You gave Your life a sacrifice for my sin and for the sins of the world." Friend, if we would do that, then Jesus Christ would not only forgive your sins, but He would come in and take residence over your heart to forgive you, to fill you, to lead you day by day and moment by moment. So if you've never done that, pray this day and say, "Dear Jesus, take over my life. I surrender. I give everything to You. Help me, Lord Jesus, to honor You." Jesus, may You honor Yourself during this invitation. If there's one here who's never prayed that prayer, never trusted You, may today be their day of change and renewal and sacrifice and surrender before You. and for every Christian. I pray that, Lord Jesus, we would celebrate you as never before, that we would honor you and lift you high, that these gifts that were representative by these wise men would be instilled in our hearts, that we would lift you high in worship as our prophet, as our priest, as our king. You've come to represent us, you've come to save us, and you've come to indwell our hearts. May you do so this Christmas tide, for it's in your precious and perfect name we pray. Amen.